Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised Second Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 351 of Heroes Unlimited. We are rapidly reaching the end of this book. We're on the second page of Ancient Photocopied Illustrated Weapon List. This book does close off with very out-of-place medieval weapons for this modern superhero game. And this is all stuff we've talked about before. Although I do want to point out, you got this big old list of weapons, right? Short swords, large swords, ball and chain, blunt weapons, right? We got all the stuff we talked about in Ninjas and Super Spies. The Hercules Club, aka the Morgenstern. The hardest working sword in show business, the Flamberge. The Cutlass, the Iron Staff. Then at the bottom, we got a bunch of miscellaneous weapons that are not necessarily medieval. Blackjacks, darts, bullwhips, meat cleavers, and frying pans. Then at the bottom of the list, in a noticeably different typeface, we get a little note. Quote, all weapons are of good to excellent, quote, combat quality. I don't know what this means. I mean, I guess it's like, these are not katanas that you buy to display in your shitty apartment. These are real katanas, real swords, real bows. I don't know really what to make of the meat cleaver and the frying pan, if that's the case. I'm not aware of people making war frying pans, although leave it to dwarves, I guess. This did come from a fantasy game. Anyway, a very minor point, a page that is mostly stuff we've talked about before. And by now, you've got to know what that means. It's time, once again, for the last time this season, to ignore this page of recycled content in Heroes Unlimited, and instead delve into a random page of Transdimensional Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and talk about the most wonderful thing on that page. I'm rolling the dice now. All right, I've rolled a 65, and this is a gun page. More guns, which we just talked about. You know, it's my show. I'm breaking the rules. I'm rolling again. This is maybe my last chance on the podcast ever to convince you to go track down a copy of this book, to talk about the wonderful things within it. I don't want to talk about breech-loading guns. Let's try again. Okay, this is more like it. This is page 50, and it's actually a really good idea of sound design turned to gonzo purposes in Transdimensional TMNT, a proper send-off to this book, which has given us so much joy. This page lists the first of the temporal manipulation spells. These are the spells you can cast if you are a Time Lord, a magic user focusing on time, a magic user with flavor. Imagine that. A special kind of magic user with a special kind of spells and an identity. But our unbelievable good fortune doesn't end there. We get a particular spell on this page, and like a number of them are good. Like, I could talk about the fact that you can use your magic to jump around, look into the past, go into other dimensions. Like, there are time-traveling wizards in this game, and it's well implemented, which is light years and regular years beyond what a Heroes Unlimited wizard can do, both in terms of power and in terms of flavor. But I want to focus on one particular spell, Temporal Energy Manipulation. Quote, this can be used as an attack or as a way of reversing TE changes. TE is temporal energy. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but just as a reminder, in this game, when something is moved from its home time, it can accumulate temporal energy, which can alter the thing. To continue, quote, in either case, for every melee round of effective contact, the spellcaster can manipulate 5 BioE points worth of TE mutations in a person or object. Subtracting the BioE can be done at any time, with a resulting devolution in the victim back to normal. Using temporal energy manipulation for the process of evolutionary mutation is only possible if the victim already has an excess of BioE. In other words, the character must already have moved into the future from his home time era. The effects are typically temporary, but there are some exceptions. For example, if you do it to an immature creature, there's an 80% chance that whatever effects you create are permanent. The important thing here is, first of all, this is great nonsensical sci-fi stuff. It's so at home in this game. I know this isn't how evolution works. Like, I understand. You've got to be a particularly clueless sci-fi writer to do that thing where, like, you put a baby dinosaur in the time machine in the past, and then you go back to the present, and you're like, hey, everybody, we're home, but you accidentally left the dinosaur in the machine. And then when the dinosaur comes out, it's evolved because, like, so many millions of years have passed, and that's millions of years of evolution, which, in the hacky sci-fi writer's mind, is like unlockable content for your body that just all gets unlocked at once, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, fucking wings, and you're 10 times taller and super intelligent. Has no bearing on actual evolution. Nonetheless, this is such a great trope and a cool idea for such a weird game, because if you're going to do time-traveling mutant animals, you want time to be able to mutate or unmutate them, right? It's a very natural fit. This spell drops that trope in the hands of a player character, which is bold and wonderful in its own right, and it does so by using the BioE system, right? The system of biological energy points that you use for character creation for mutant animals, and actually allowing the player to manipulate those points, to manipulate those numbers in play. I'm really relying on the overt effect of this spell for the gonzo factor here. I hope you are as impressed as I am by the idea of a wizard in a funny Time Lord hat extending his hand toward a mutant animal and evolving it or devolving it using temporal energy. It's super cool. But the gonzo here is not really what I'm excited about, to be perfectly honest with you. It's the fact that it's supported by such clever design. Well, I say clever. Palladium sets such a low bar, that's the thing. For another company, it wouldn't be unusual for someone to say, hey, I've got this spell I want to write, or this power I want to create. Does that have any connection to other rules that have already been written? Could I maybe work with a rules concept that already exists to create some kind of coherence to this system? In other companies, game lines, that would be standard practice. Here it comes as a revelation. Contrast with Blindwatch, where we have spells about the very simple concept of obscuring things from sight that just had to be like rewritten from scratch every time. Sometimes with whole new rules concepts, like a percentile chance to fall down every X number of feet that you travel, which like applies in some cases when you're blind and not in others, just for no reason. Just because every time we talk about this, we just start completely from scratch. And as a result, lots of systems in Palladium games get thoroughly elaborated and then abandoned, like the monster bugs that we talked about, right? So many pages of giant bug stats. Then later, when giant bugs come up, it's like it never happened. Wasted space, wasted design, and incoherence, ultimately, right? If a wizard and a superhero both enlarge an ant from the same colony of ants, they've got different stats. It's like those two pages of the rulebook just aren't aware of each other. Here, though, the idea of turning BioE, which up to this point has been purely a character creation thing, into a feature of a character that you can manipulate with magic, mutating them in play, it's so cool. It's got that great mix that I love from Transdimensional TMNT of creativity, but also coherence and mechanical soundness. Just fantastic. One more thing I have to mention before we leave this page. We've gotten a lot of fairly dull examples in the course of Heroes Unlimited. There's an example here of how to use the spell Time Peak, which allows you to look into the past in your current location. Here's the example of how it works. Quote, Petrovich, a fourth level Time Lord, discovers that the cookie jar in his kitchen is empty. Enraged that the last of his favorite almond shortbread squares are missing, he decides to cast a few Time Peak spells to discover the criminal. He thinks that perhaps this morning, when everyone was having breakfast, someone stole the cookies. Sitting down at the kitchen table, he casts a Time Peak back to 8 a.m. that morning. Looking out into an empty room, he realizes that he may have cast the spell for a time that was too early. He peers through the spell for a full 2 minutes while watching 2 minutes in the past, from 8 to 8:02 a.m. The example goes on to describe Petrovich conducting a search of other times this morning, trying to find the culprit. We rejoin the example later. Quote, by now, Petrovich has cast 4 of the 8 spells he's allowed for the day. He decides that justice will have to wait. Over the next few days, Petrovich cast Time Peak spells into the cookie jar, gradually narrowing down the time when the theft took place. Eventually, he sees the hand stealing the cookies. Unfortunately, he's still got to cast yet one more Time Peak. Since he doesn't recognize the hand, he has to cast the next Time Peak looking at the area outside the cookie jar at the exact time of the event in order to discover the culprit. Such a fun example, such a fun scenario they've created. I love Petrovich waiting for justice. I love him casting 4 spells, like half his spell loadout in a single day, trying to figure out who stole the cookies and failing, and the example continues. I love the detail that he doesn't recognize the hand, because it raises the possibility that if he were, you know, betrayed in this by someone he really trusted, or, you know, a mutant animal, like if it was a mutant terror crane reaching in there with their talon-like claws to grab those almond squares, then Petrovich would have been all set. He would have clenched his fist and been like, ah, terror crane, you Judas. But because it was just a regular ass hand, he's got to cast one more time, extending the suspense. Just these little touches, just the flavor. Petrovich, in this handful of paragraphs, becomes more interesting than very much of what we read in Heroes Unlimited, like in that whole fat book. Just the occasional appearance of a compelling character would have really helped Heroes Unlimited to grab you. But you can't compare Heroes Unlimited to Transdimensional TMNT. That's not fair. While I love them both in different ways, you know. It's like you love your honor student, you also love your child who was expelled for unchecked pyromania. You may love them equally, but that doesn't mean you could equally recommend studiousness and pyromania to a friend. One of these things is not like the other. Clearly, Transdimensional TMNT is just in a different league in terms of a lot of aspects of game design from Heroes Unlimited. And this page is really a good example, even when it comes to wacky, over-the-top stuff, which is sort of Heroes Unlimited's stock in trade, right there with Rifts, I would say. even when it comes to that stuff, Transdimensional TMNT has equally good ideas, better executed. With that said, we are done with Transdimensional TMNT, and we are almost done with Heroes Unlimited. Join me next time for the last page of Heroes Unlimited, although we still have a back cover to go, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. The Transdimensional TMNT theme, used under a Creative Commons license, is Acapulco 2000 by Jack Fetterman and the In Hi-Fi Music Direction, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.